Yeah, I should start all over, but I won't. Yeah, it's going now. She realizes that God is working. As I said, there's rays of hope. There's rays of, and the narrator gave us a comment on the context, so we can see the significance of the events in these verses. The story begins to unfold in verse 2. And to Naomi, there's a relative. And things aren't as dire as they first seem, as she would have led Ruth and Orpah to go back. She's released them. She says, go back. Go back to your homes. I've got no more sons. She's basically saying, I've got nothing. And Boaz appears on the scene, and she is out in faith. She's trusting God. She realizes that they need to do something about their situation. They need to go and try and to find food. And Ruth's day is a designation. You know, every time she's listed, it says Ruth the Moabitess. You know, that's a reminder of Ruth doesn't belong. She's an outsider. She doesn't belong to the Commonwealth of Israel. She is a dog, a misfit, an outsider. And she's here in this foreign land sojourning. And so in faith, she's trusting God. She says that in faith, she goes out and prays that someone will show her favor or kindness. And that prayer is answered in Boaz. But so it was dangerous at that time, and she attached herself to the workers. And let's see, where do we leave off? You know, he treated her like he would his own sister, his mother. And Boaz, he's not doing it for any ulterior motive. He's doing it to elevate her. And some people have speculated that as he looked at Ruth, this young Moabitess, he maybe saw, who'd he see? So he looks at her, and she's a foreigner. She's in a strange land.
Joseph.
Not Joseph. That's not who I was thinking of.
Rahab.
Yeah. Rahab. And maybe that's what he's thinking of. You know, here she's someone who had faith, and she decided to go with the people of God. And you remember the story of the spies who went into the land to spy it out. But Rahab hid the two spies in her house, which was on the outskirts of Jericho, on the wall. And said, hang a scarlet thread or a something like that, a rope, so that she wouldn't be destroyed with the rest of the city. But Boaz may have that in mind, and he's showing her extraordinary kindness. In verse 10, she fell on her face. Ouch. And that was just a respectful, in the ancient Near East, that was a greeting to show you're grateful. And she bowed to the ground. Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? Why are you doing this? She asked him. And he says, look, it's been reported that everything you've done for your mother-in-law and, you know, praying that the Lord will bless you. And he says there, you know, her prayer's answered here, that God would give her favor in someone's eyes, and God's done it. And she just happened to come to a field, and it just happened that Boaz was coming out from Jerusalem that day, and it happened he was visiting the fields, and it's kind of an interesting way of saying God's providentially working. But verse 12, I think, is where we left off. May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. I was going to ask a question there. I just put Q for a question, and I don't remember what it was. What's pictured here, I guess, is what I was going to ask, as he says in that verse, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Any thoughts to that in the scriptures, the Old Testament? I mean, he doesn't see Ruth as an employee. You know, that he's, oh, I'm getting needed labor out of her. You know, the picture is God as a great winged eagle. And that Ruth is a, if you will, a threatened eaglet. And he's coming, she comes and she finds safety under his wings. It's a beautiful picture. And the implication of verse 12 is that God will reward Ruth because she sought refuge under his wings. And that's a common teaching in the Old Testament. Would someone look up Psalm 57, verse 1. 57, verse 1, and read it. Okay. Be merciful to me, O God, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. And that's what Ruth is doing. Why should God show mercy to Ruth? Well, she sought refuge under God's wings. She counted his protection better than all others. And she has set her hope and her joy and her heart on God. And she's left her country. She's left Chemosh. And she's worshiping the one true God. And God's merciful to. So verse 12 is a prayer. And God does that for her. Verse 13, then she said, I found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed I have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. And this was, again, her request back in verse 2. Give me someone who I might find favor in their eyes to go out and to glean. And she found it in the eyes of Boaz. And someone had stated that every prayer in the book of Ruth is answered. And that's certainly true. God probably answers every prayer, but in ways that we don't imagine or we don't think. But Ruth heads back home, verses 17 through 23, and she talks to, you know, of course, Naomi would want to know, how's it going? How'd it go for you? get it turned in there. And let's see. Yeah. Naomi, let's see, verse 19. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So he told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." And then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." And again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives." And Ruth says, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth and her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and in the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So she heads back home. And, you know, this is interesting. This is something Naomi, it comes to her mind when she's on the road in Ruth chapter 1, and they're having the meltdown there on the road, and she's sending Orpah back home, and Ruth, "I've got nothing," but now it's like, again, a ray of light, you know, like, oh yeah, I got this relative, his name's Boaz, and she sees her hope rising, I guess you could say. It's changing for her slowly. Things are starting to come together. She's got food. She's got something to eat. And Ruth is obviously being blessed by Boaz. And the writer again reminds us that Ruth, foreigner, Moabitess, she's a foreigner. So Boaz has been very, very generous. God's supplied for these two widows, supplied for them food, and it makes it, in this story, it tells us that Boaz is going, I mean, is this normal for a Jewish landowner to show attention to, now we don't know why, but to give this kind of, to elevate someone from their low position. He's going above and beyond what the spirit of the law called for. You know, just leave a sheaf there, they can get it, you know, they'll have enough to eat. But he's gone, and that would be clear when she's staggering home with this. She's got it, and she, you know, maybe she can't quite lift all this grain, you know, that she's been heaped upon her, and she puts it down in front of Naomi, and she's like, "What the world is this?" It's clear that God has blessed her. And I mentioned Moab's mother.
Boaz.
Excuse me? Oh, what'd you say?
I said Boaz's mother, because you didn't say
her. Oh, I didn't say her name?
No, you didn't say it the right way.
Oh, Boaz.
You said Moab.
Oh, Moaz. Yeah, he's a brother to Boaz. Not Moaz. All right, you caught me. Boaz. Boaz's mother. And again, if that was Rahab, the prostitute, you know, and she's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Christ, but maybe he sees in Ruth, I like to think he sees in her the faith of his mother that she had, which was a strong And it's kind of possible that that's what's going through his mind. We don't know, but and this, there is a truth too that this is foreshadowing what Spurgeon, he called Christ, he called Jesus Christ our glorious Boaz. And the same way that Boaz went to, came out to survey the fields, Jesus came to survey his proverbial field. Boaz looked out and saw Ruth, so Jesus has seen us. As Boaz pursued Ruth, so Jesus has pursued us. And as Boaz spoke to Ruth kindly, so Jesus has spoken to us kindly. And as Boaz went beyond the requirements of the law all the way to grace, so the Lord Jesus Christ has gone beyond the requirements of the law all the way to grace, and we found favor in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, our glorious Boaz. That's Charles Haddon Spurgeon. So, really in this, I mean, kind of finish this chapter, and I've got this outline. Maybe hang on to it for next time, because I don't know if we'll get to it. Maybe we will. But our salvation that you have, the salvation that Christ has provided, is, the scriptures say, is a gift, isn't it? It's a gift. We don't come to God with our hands full. We come with our hands empty, in the same way that Ruth came to Boaz. And it's a beautiful thing when we come to Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. We come confessing our sin. We come with our hands empty, and we come helpless, hopeless, destitute, and he saves us. So that is, and maybe you see the comparison then there between Boaz and Christ. But God showed up when, and the scriptures say, when I was, Romans 5, when I was a sinner, when I was helpless, there was no one, and God saved us. That's such a blessing. And so in his kindness, he's done that for us all. And so that's how the Lord prepared Ruth for Boaz. All right, so this next chapter, let's just get into that. Let's read it. Want to read it? Let's read it. And this is God's, really our hand, his hand in our redemption. What did I put in there? Yeah, God's hand in our redemption. And let's just read the chapter. And why don't we start on this side? And would you like to read?
Yeah, sure.
A couple. Why don't you read two verses, and we'll go through, going back until, down through verse 18.
Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, shouldn't I find security for you?" Chapter 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
"Shouldn't I find security for you so that you will be taken care of? Now, isn't Boaz our relative? Haven't you been working with his female servants? This evening he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor.
Wash yourself, therefore, anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go around to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Wasn't I supposed to say that?
Just two verses.
"It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go around and cover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her.
When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet.
And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich.
And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I.
Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before the one who recognized him. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor."
And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her.
What verse, sweetheart?
17.
And she said, "These 6 measures of barley came he me, for he said unto me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." And then said to she, then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know who the matter will fail, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished the things this day."
Okay. All right, so you're thinking, wow, what's going on here? And, you know, and there's a lot of speculation about what is happening here. And I hope we can answer it. But, you know, as I said, the narrator to the story, he's giving a glimmer of hope. There's, you know, we're going to see how God is weaving together the events of their lives to bring about his glory. And he's working for their good. And we want to keep remembering that truth, because we may get lost in the ambiguities that may be here in the text. But I want to show how, in the context, how we see the picture of God, and he's still intervening, he's still protecting the widow Ruth and her mother-in-law. And we're going to see, I think in the outline there, and we're not going to get very far, but we'll finish this up the next time. So hope I'm not dragging something out. But, you know, the plan of Naomi, and we'll see that, you know, man makes his plans, but the proverb is true, the Lord directs his steps. And then the proposal of Ruth, the promise of Boaz, and the portrait of Christ. And you see, we'll see God does rescue Ruth, but we'll see really some parallels to the New Testament story and everything that happens in ours. And really, again, the greater story, a love story of redemption, God redeeming his people. So let's, you know, and again, you read this text and you think, this is weird, or this is, maybe it's shocking, or maybe it's difficult to understand, but, and it is something reading it, it probably would be, you know, to put ourselves in the shoes of those that first read it, maybe to a Jewish reader, this is kind of really strange. As they were reading this, they'd understand some of the customs, but Ruth, she's a Moabitess, and she's had her come up with a plan to go before this rich, this warrior, this guy, everything that's Boaz, and to, I mean, it seems very forward. But we'll see that in her plan, and really this is probably the third act in this story. And it's an intense chapter of conflict and crisis. And so and it says, then Naomi said to her mother-in-law, say to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well for you? This is what she prayed back in chapter 1, verse 9. The same word is used in verse 9 when she tried to send Ruth back home, back to her father's house. And the word rest has the idea of settledness, wholeness. And she doesn't say, I'm seeking a place of inactivity for you. You know, she's like, should I not, you know, get you a lazy boy recliner, you know, a place you can, you know, that's not, she's not saying I need to have a place like that. A place where you can have protection and love, the relationship of a husband. Shouldn't I seek this wholehearted settledness for you, my daughter? And for Ruth, this rest was a rest of security. It was a rest of family. So she's saying to Ruth, Boaz is most likely the one to redeem us. He's a guy that can help us. So in verse 2 says, is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. And so in verses 3 through 4, Naomi reveals her plan to Ruth. This is where he is tonight. This is what you should do tonight. And it says, take a bath, anoint yourself with oil, put your cloak on, which will, it's going to hide your identity until he's finished eating and drinking. There in verse 3 says, but do not make yourself known until the man has finished eating and drinking. So in verse 4, but when he lies down, observe the place where he lies and go and uncover his feet and lie down. And he will tell you what to do. And she replied, are you out of your mind? Yeah. That's what I think. Are you out of your mind, Naomi? What? All that you say, I will do, she responds. You know, if you're looking for a Romeo, where art thou, Romeo? You know, it's not, this isn't a story like that, is it? You know, it's not. And if you, it has all the elements of what I would call a very stressful situation. A woman, here they are, a woman proposing to a man. In our society, that'd be awkward. In theirs, it would be inappropriate. Then you have on top of it the racial issues. We mentioned that 5 out of the 12 times Ruth's name is mentioned, she's mentioned as Ruth the Moabitess in the drama. And it's just serving to reinforce this, the fact that she is a foreigner. She doesn't belong. She's a stranger to Israel, and they were often despised as misfits, and consider their origin, it'd be certain. So she's come from a bad place, and we would, you know, a Jewish reader is reading this. Can Boaz marry a person that's like this? There's the religious issues. Yeah, she's a convert, but there'd be a lot of suspicion around her because of where she's been. She's come from this foreign, idolatrous nation. There'd be money issues. Ruth is supposed to have the land that her husband would have, but she can't have it as a woman in that society. So there's financial issues. You have age and position. Boaz is, by all indications, he's an older man. Ruth is a younger woman. And so she's a younger woman proposing to a man. And she think about when and where. She's doing it at night. She's saying this at night. I mean, on the threshing floor. You know, Boaz is a man of stature. She's she's a beggar, basically. She's begging to glean in his field. So you have race, class, money issues, everything that you can imagine, all the elements of a good story, but it makes for a lot of tension. I don't know if we can appreciate what's going on here, but it's a very tense situation. And Naomi says, here's the plan. And Ruth says, okay. Okay. All that you say, I'll do it. So in verse 6, we're out of time. All right, we'll come back to this. So let's leave it there. That's a cliffhanger. Because what's going to happen to Ruth? And I won't be here next week. We're going to a conference in North Carolina. So I believe Kevin will be teaching, and he'll be on the same theme, not the same passage, but the same theme. And so let's close our prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Ruth and Boaz. And Lord, it's really a reminder that you care for us, that you cared enough to send your son into this world. And thank you for the story of Ruth and Boaz, and we can see how you're working providentially to bring about the birth of the one that ultimately one day would birth the Messiah. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time now, bless our worship service. Lord, may all we do, may all we say, and may our songs be to the praise and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.